Well, good evening, one and all. Welcome to our Wednesday meeting. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording. It's good to be in fellowship with you once again. Pray that God will continue to bless you, to hear and answer your prayers, and to indeed lead and guide you into all truth. We praise God for allowing us to be able to meet together once again. So greetings, one and all, and it's good to see Brother Matt here. Praise God that things aren't so hectic like they were last week, and it's good to have you back, brother. Our opening song is entitled "Abide With Me." Abide with me, fast falls the evening tide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changes not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Amen. Through the dark, troubled waters, if Christ abides with us, we will have no fear. He will bring us out on the other side to life eternal. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, watchful care. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Thank you so much for being our great physician to help us through the health problems and mental problems and spiritual problems that we may be going through. And thank you so much that we can look to thee and have you come and abide with us. And thus we have no fear for the future. Thank you for thy tender love and merciful care for each one of us. We give this meeting into thy hands, dear Father, and pray and plead with thee in Jesus' name that you will come and be an abiding guest with us. Please shower us with the blessings from above, especially in understanding thy word. And for this we need the presence of our Savior, who is the truth, to lighten our dark hearts and indeed enable us to see clearly. And so, Savior, please be here with us, and thank you so much for doing so. And, dear Spirit, I pray that you also will be an abiding guest with us to lead and guide us into all truth, to quicken our understanding, to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and to plant the Savior on the throne of our hearts and will. And thank you so much for doing so. Dear Father, please be with all of those that have requested prayers and hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will. We pray for Sister Walker's wrist and Brother Walker's back, that you will continue to work in their behalf and bring them relief and healing. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray for Michelle and Adele's fight with the virus that is going around, and please continue to bring healing relief to them. And thank you so much for allowing my precious wife to feel better. Father, I pray that you will continue to lead and guide thy people all around the world and empower them to live and to preach the present truth so that a greater portion of this dark world can be lightened with your glory and come to fall in love with you and out of love with the world and the devil. Dear Godhead, we thank you for being here in our midst and for blessing us tonight as we gather together in the name of our Savior to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And thank you for being such a wonderful, loving, and compassionate God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And a P.S. here for the prayer. Just bow our heads again, please. Dear Father, I also pray that you'll be with all of the flood victims there in the Virginias and elsewhere. Please also be with the situation there with Brother Matt's parents and himself. Please allow there to be a quick resolve in the recovery and allow the home to be repaired quickly and easily without much more delay. And thank you so much that it wasn't worse. And thank you that Brother Matt is back with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome, dear ones, once again. We're in Colossians chapter 4, and our dear brother James, who was so kind to fill in for me last Wednesday, got us down to verse 7 of chapter 4. And Paul left off at verse 6 by admonishing the Christians to always have the words that they speak spoken with grace, seasoned with the gospel principles of truth, and relying upon the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear, so that we might correctly uplift Jesus before them, so that they can fall in love with His wonderful character being manifested in us. And now we pick it up at verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. So here, Paul sent Tychicus, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, with this letter to the Colossians. And Tychicus was also going to relate the financial and health affairs of Paul to the Colossians. And if God so impressed them to help out in his labors or with increased prayers on his behalf, then that was going to be done for Paul through the Colossians. And so there is no denial of the gospel to relate to one another in private, because this wasn't done in the letter, but in private, your affairs, whether it is a financial affair or a health affair or spiritual affair or whatever it is, there is no denying the gospel by relating that to those whom you love. In fact, we see here that it was actually part of a Christian's responsibility to allow others to know how they're getting on. And isn't that what a family is supposed to do? If a brother or sister has a problem, isn't it proper for them to go to another brother or sister and relate the issue that's affecting them, seeking for counsel and wisdom and guidance? I believe it is, especially a family that is so bound together in the faith. And I think that type of an affiliation in faith should be a greater bond than even a relationship bond. Now, I know it's difficult for those that have a history of being betrayed by individuals that they have trusted, even brothers or sisters in the family, or perhaps parents in the family. I know that with that type of a history, it's going to be very difficult to trust brothers and sisters in the faith. But here, Paul wasn't afraid to let the individuals know whom he was involved with of what his affairs were. Although it was done in private, it wasn't made an issue for everyone to know. But that communication took place. And so it's something to consider, dear ones. A lot of times people have the idea, well, you know, I have to walk this pathway with Christ alone. No one can walk it with me. I can't go hand in hand with each other and Christ at the same time, because it's just an individual relationship between me and the Lord. And they sort of use that as an excuse to remain bottled up with themselves. You know, they're courteous and so on when they're fellowshipping, but they're very standoffish when it comes to their own affairs on how they're doing. And I think we need to allow ourselves to be much more affectionate and trusting with our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. And that may take some time with individuals, especially those that have a history that isn't as memorable as it should be, because individuals can betray one another. And some have been betrayed more than others have. But look at how many have betrayed Christ. Amen. Amen. And yet he still trusts individuals. He trusts them with himself. Because Christ can still be hurt by his followers today. He can be crucified afresh if we give him up and not stand firm and true to him. But yet he's there. That's how much he desires the oneness, the bond, the unity with his followers. And if Christ manifests so much trust and compassion and affection on you and me, then we should follow that example and manifest it to one another. So Paul here is not afraid to call Tychicus his beloved brother. Not just a brother in the faith, a beloved brother. That's affection. That's pure, godly love. And it's not a denial of faith to manifest it. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions before we continue?
Good evening, everyone. It's such a blessing to be with you all here tonight. It truly is. And I just want to say I love this topic. I can say that I have been betrayed. I know probably most of us here have been. It's one way or another. But as a Christian, I have been. And many friends have turned and betrayed as I went following the Lord by the grace of God. And but the Lord just encouraged me. You know how he was of no reputation, that it just didn't matter when you really knew that you were following him with the life that you had and you were being an honest and good Christian with, you know, the life that you had and the mortification of where you were at that point. And you know you didn't do anything wrong and you know you're, I mean, you know, outwardly to those people and you know your heart was right. Then he just helped me to know I just have to let go of my reputation. It doesn't matter what people say about me, except with the Lord, thanks. And he's given me great peace in that. So, you know, he did all right. He did, when I say that, he did all things right. And he was betrayed by so many. So I just think we can't worry about anything that may come of being faithful or, you know, what you're talking about, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you and these kind of things. Because if the Lord's leading us, then we need to follow. If he says to say, to do, to declare our state to others, then, you know, we just need to do that. And if there's one in there that's going to end up betraying us, well, the Lord knows about it. And, you know, I think he probably has something good for us in that, whether we see it in this life or it's an eternal blessing. Or who knows, he could use that person and change their heart and turn it around. So I just think we just need to love and have this compassion you're talking about and not have any worries about what's going to happen to me or self or what people may say or do or think about me. And then there's great peace when we know we're just doing that. So praise God.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And yet there's a passage in the Spirit of Prophecy where it says that our reputation is in the hands of God. And God will use our reputation in any way that he sees is for the best. So we're not to worry about our reputation. I mean, we're not to go out and do stupid things, and we're not to go out and give our enemies fuel to use against us, you know. But if we're walking that straight and narrow path, and yet our reputation is downgraded by those that are following the devil, whether they know it or not, we're not to become so concerned about it that we lower ourselves to their level and start treating them like they're treating us. Self wants us to rise up and say, how dare you say those things about me? And then turn the attack on them. But if self is crucified in Christ, then we will allow him to use our reputation in any way that he sees is necessary. If our reputation is, you know, drugged through the mud, well, God may be using that issue as a controversial point to wake people up that are sleeping. And thus, he can use that negativity to the advantage of opening eyes to spread the truth. I've seen that more on one occasion, where people would have slept on by without the controversy. But as soon as that controversy came, they were, what did you say? I just can't believe that about him. Or I don't even know who the guy is. I can't join with you in this. Or, the things that you're saying, do you know them to be true about that sister? So they would have just continued sleeping without that controversy waking them up. And they may join in at one point from ignorance or being caught up in all that was going on. But that still allows the Spirit to work upon their hearts because now they're awake. So if the truth be evil spoken of, God can use that in a way to awaken individuals that might otherwise sleep on by without the controversy occurring. So our reputation is in the hands of God, and there may be times in which he impresses us to respond. But for the vast majority of times, silence will do much more than 10,000 words to try and justify yourself. Christ was one of the most evilly spoken of individuals that ever walked this earth. It's because the devil was trying to cut short his ministry, was trying to prejudice minds not to listen to the words he was going to say, was trying to prevent them from accepting him as the Messiah. And yet all that the devil was able to create against Christ was used by God to awaken people to accept Christ. Most of the time, Christ did not respond to his accusers, but there were times in which he did. And that was because God led him to. So we must give leeway one to another in these issues of responding or not responding to the falsehoods and the attacks from the enemy. We must allow God to use his servants in whatever way he sees is necessary, even if they take the time to respond to the attacks. But I tell you, for the most part, silence is golden. But praise God that we can have an abiding Savior with us to keep us peaceful amidst the storms of controversy. And that peace is an internal peace. It's something that the world cannot give us. But Christ can, if he's abiding in our hearts by faith. So Paul declared his state of affairs to Tychicus so that Tychicus could relate them privately to the Colossians. But Paul was also not afraid to verbally declare his affection for this beloved brother. And he goes on to state that he was a faithful minister as well as a fellow servant in the Lord. So Paul just didn't call everybody beloved, but especially those that had proved their faithfulness to the Lord and their ministering to others. He wasn't afraid to. Verse 8. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So Paul wasn't just making sure that his own affairs were related to the Colossians, but Paul also wanted to hear the welfare of the Colossians. So this wasn't a one-sided, you know, here's what I'm going through, please help me if you can, and then there wasn't any reciprocation of that same expected courtesy. But Paul, in recognizing the relaying of his affairs to others, also was interested in how they were doing. So it wasn't one-sided. It was a well-rounded interest in the welfare and affairs of one another. Because all ye are brethren. Everyone is on an equality with each other in Christ. No one is more important than the next. And Paul recognized that. So people don't owe us anything. But it's sure nice to have brothers and sisters whom you can feel comfortable in relaying your affairs to. And also in having them relay their affairs to you. At one time you can help them out if the Lord has blessed you with enough. And the next time you can help them out and they can help you out. And thus there's a type of inequality there. That is a true bond of love and unity among such a people as that. We're all looking out for their welfare and not just our own. So it was for that purpose that Paul sent Tychicus, and also, verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So Paul just didn't send Tychicus, but he also sent Onesimus, and Onesimus was a Colossian. And he was also a beloved brother that had proved himself faithful. So God help us, dear ones, to be much more affectionate, much more trusting, much more interested in the welfare and affairs of each one of us, so that we can help to comfort those who need comfort, to support those who need support, to encourage those who need encouragement, to strengthen those who need to be strengthened, especially pointing each one to their Savior from where they find their help in all times of need. And what a comfort it is to know that you have brothers and sisters that are like that. Not from duplicity or double-mindedness, but because they are truly converted in Christ. A verse comes to mind. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, preferring one another. To prefer means to allow the other to go ahead of you. And that indeed shows self-crucifixion. So be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly or sisterly love, letting the other go ahead of you. So these principles of the gospel are found throughout Scripture. And God help us to practice them. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to begin, please feel free.
Heavenly Father, just want to thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and hear these words from your word, words of encouragement and words, beautiful words. Beautiful words. I think of that hymn. I can't think of any of the other words of the hymn, but beautiful words, beautiful words. Wonderful words of life or of love. I don't know, but these are beautiful words tonight, and it's just filling my heart with thanksgiving and praise. It's so nice to be with believers. It's such a blessing. I'm in a wilderness. And just being on the internet with you all and others who know and understand and love Christ and love His Word is so refreshing. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you've allowed me to have this blessing and allowed each one of us to have it. May we count our blessings daily. Name them one by one, because we could never go through naming them all. Even in one day, there's so many, and so many we don't even see and know about that you are constantly doing for us, besides giving us each breath and another day to strive and to put away sin and to receive more of Christ Jesus in our hearts. And I do pray, Lord, for unity in the body. And there's that verse, and I don't remember what psalm, maybe 133, a short psalm, about the unity is like the oil running down the beard of Aaron. And when we're united in love and in the same faith and in all these things being talked about tonight in Christ, when we're united in these things, what a sweet fragrance that is to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would build up Zion. We need to be built up to withstand anything and everything that comes our way, and to do it to your glory and your power and your strength, because the days are becoming more and more evil, and what's going to be required of us is going to be so great, greater than any other time, any other hour in history. Your word makes that so clear, so plain. So I pray we keep our eyes on you, precious Savior, and Holy Spirit, that we would listen and hearken to your guidance, to your teaching, to your leading. We would be very careful to discern between your voice and the voice of our enemies, which would be self, the devil, and the world, and its ways of thinking, others who don't know you. And I just pray you be with each one in this room. Pray for Sister Michelle, who is sick, and Sister Adele, both of them sick with the virus. Pray that you restore them to full health very soon and draw very near to them in this sickness. I pray for Brother Matt and the flooding situation that he's undergoing at this time, Lord. I pray that you would just work through it all and draw very near to him and enable him to get everything taken care of and done that needs to be, and give him wisdom in this trial, Lord, and great grace that he give glory to you before all who are watching who may not know you. And I just pray for all the unspoken prayers that we all have on our hearts, lost family members especially, burdens that we may be carrying. I pray that you would give us all wisdom and knowledge and understanding for all our trials, hour by hour. And help us to be singing to you throughout the day, off and on, as David did. And such joy we find in our hearts through that. Such joy, just whatever the need is, we can have a hymn, we can have a song for whatever it is. Whether it's a joyful thing or whether it's a sad thing, whether we need encouragement, we can make any verse really a hymn and that we want to learn, and we can sing it to you. And we can be encouraged and strengthened in it. We don't have to do these things, but sometimes it helps. So thank you so much for your word and for this time. And I pray for those who aren't here with us tonight. I think especially of Brother James and Sister Lucy and some of the others who are normally here, but all that are part of this home church. Keep us all. Help us to keep ourselves in the love of Christ.
And blessed Father, we thank you for allowing us the privilege through Jesus to come to thee with our prayers and pleading and petitions and seeking of your counsel and blessings and intervening in our life. And we thank you so very much for not turning us away, but encouraging us to come closer to you, right to the foot of your throne. And thank you for taking the time to listen and to correctly respond in the right, proper way, in wisdom mixed with love and mercy and compassion, in answering our prayers. Thank you for being such a loving and tender-hearted Father and God. And thank you for always being the same and not arbitrary, not changing, not faithful today and then betraying tomorrow, but being the same consistently. Please build our trust and hope and love in thee. And thank you so much for leading and guiding us day by day Thank you for thy many blessings and answers to our prayers, for without these, this world's experience would be so terrible, and we give up in hopeless despair of anything better. Truly, we gain all things in Christ, our connecting link between us and you. Help us to be more and more grateful and appreciative for this infinite gift. Help us to become more like you in character. And Father, again, we bring the prayers and petitions of those here in the room and also those that have asked us to pray for them or we've said that we would pray for. We bring all of these at thy throne. And thank you that we don't have to worry about what the answer is going to be, but we can trust and rest in your love for us, that it will be the best, wisest, and most perfect loving answer, because you seek our welfare and not our hurt. Thank you for this. Father, we again lift up Brother and Sister Walker. Please heal our dear sister's wrist. Let it strengthen and be able to do the repetitive work until you open up another door for her in another line of work. And thank you. Be with our dear brother's back and please help the condition to ease up and come back to normal. And thank you for being his great physician. Thank you for the healing that has come upon my precious wife, and that this is the day that she has felt better compared to the previous days. We also pray that you will send your healing grace to Adele, as she's just now beginning to fight with the virus, and please help her to recuperate quickly and give her wisdom to know how to aid your efforts of healing. And thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for already working in Brother Matt's life and allowing that situation to be resolved. And again, thank you for sparing them greater damage or loss of life or hurt. And please be with all the families who have lost loved ones, and please comfort them and let them know how short life is and how the only safety of life after death is found with Jesus. And so, in your marvelous way, turn this apparent defeat into a victory of bringing precious souls to Jesus before it's too late. We also pray that you'll be with our dear Sister Johnson's water situation. And please work in this, that the transition to a different water source will go smoothly, or through thy marvelous miracle working power, that they may continue on the water source that they have. Thank you, Father, that we can turn to you in any time of need and for being there to hear, to answer, and to comfort us in all areas. Thank you, Father, that thy truth is spreading around the world. Be with all of those who have heard the truth. Give them a greater outpouring of thy spirit to see the truth, and a greater amount of courage and trust based upon love to follow the truth. And thank you that we're a day closer to eternity. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us for misrepresenting you in any way. And Father, please help us to indeed become more like the Savior and thus be able to manifest the proper affection, trust, and interest in the welfare of one another as we should. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Amen. Yeah, that verse that you quoted there, dear sister, regarding how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity is actually a scripture song. And it goes, behold, behold, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for sistren to dwell in unity. Psalms 133, verse 1.
Good night, everyone. I don't know if you have that hymn that also Teresa mentioned. Wonderful words, beautiful words and wonderful words. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I don't have it in the hymn section. I think I remember the first stanza of it. Maybe someone else here would know the next stanza. Sing it over again to me, wonderful words of life. Na, 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 na. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love. Sinner, list to the loving call. Wonderful words of life, all so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. I was singing them with you in my mind, but there's no way I could have pulled all those words out from memory. So praise the Lord that you found the words. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close tonight? And please feel free to do so. Well, dearly beloved, I pray that God will continue to work in your life, to lead and guide you upward, to indeed come close to you, to build and increase your faith, hope, and trust and love in Him, and to keep you steadfast in these. And may God do this more and more until you reach that perfect day. And I hope that it is soon. So may God bless, dear ones. And I look forward to fellowshipping with you in just a couple days. And don't forget, this coming Sabbath, the 9th of July, is going to be foot washing and communion. So please come prepared for that. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 11. So may God bless.